Sefolufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
After 12 o'clock. No luck with Mark Johnson. We didn't get Mark. Okay, so we'll see if we can. Oh, we do. We're getting him. Oh, he's calling. He could be calling. This could be the big moment here. Very excited to find it out. Find out if we're going to get the Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, gearing up for what should be a great. There he is, Mark Johnson, my friend. Always great to get you on the program. Thanks again for being with us. We got punted for Rockies yesterday, so we, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know why, but we did. It happens sometimes. It was a riveting game, though. Rockies lost. I know that's a shocker to a lot of people. But, Mark, my man, we're getting close. I haven't talked to you since your voyage. You haven't been on with us in a couple of weeks. Some things have happened, you know, since then. Just a few things.
It's the world has changed a little bit. You know, I was on that 100-mile horseback ride and had cell signal intermittently, and every once in a while I'd, you know, be able to peek someplace, ride the horse, and I'd catch a little cell signal. My phone would blow up, and so that's how I found out about the conference change. And I've said to many interviews I've done here the last couple of weeks, Brady, you know, initially the feeling is, well, it's like going back home. But then again, the home's been remodeled. It's a very different Big 12 than it was when we left. But I think it's a good move for Colorado. I understand 12 years ago why the Buffaloes made the move to the Pac-12 at that time. Things didn't work out there. And so it'll be good to get back in the Big 12. And, you know, it's, you know, I'll say this. You know, and I grew up in Big 10, Big 12 country. I was a Midwest guy growing up. And, you know, I've worked in the Big East. I've worked in the ACC. We're now in the Pac-12, obviously. Those Midwestern conferences, and I think you can say the same thing about the SEC, although I haven't worked there. A lot of college towns, and there's great love and passion for college sports that sometimes in the Pac-12, you know, in Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area and Phoenix kind of gets lost a little bit. And so there's something about the Big 12 that just feels right with Colorado going back, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it does. And for the Buffs, I mean, when you hear that news, you're excited about it because we know, you and I have talked about it so much, even over the past few years, about the future of the Pac-12. So for the Buffs, it's great. Obviously, we know there's a lot still to be decided for the Pac-4 or whatever it is. But, I mean, Mark, that's done, right? There's no chance for them loading up any teams. I mean, we're just waiting for the Final Four to get out of there, right?
Well, you know, where do they go? Who do they go and get? I mean,
right.
that becomes the issue. If you want to remain a major conference, who do you go and get? There's just nobody left in that part of the country that, you know, and listen, you and I could have a two-hour conversation about what's going on in college athletics and how this is unfolding. And I've been saying, you know, Brady, this isn't the end. You know, there's an old line I heard years ago that said, if you believe that you're in a time of peace, that only means that everyone's reloading, right? Mm. And so I think what we've seen here is just another step in what ultimately, you know, becomes of college athletics. So right now it'll remain relatively stable here for a while. Now, I do think with what's going on with the Pac-4, if you will, they've got to figure something out. I was going to send it to you, dang it, I forgot to. Somebody put out a graphic today on Twitter that had, it was the Pac Mountain that it had, you know, those four teams in the Mountain West Conference and creating a new league. And, you know, there's some things about that that make a lot of sense, I think. But the lack of regionalization in college athletics is really quite disturbing on a number of fronts. And, you know, you saw what the football coach at Missouri said about it, and others have talked about, you know, what this means. And you got to think about beyond football and basketball, because, you know, with the soccer team and the golf team and the tennis team and, you know, what they're going to be dealing with in some of these conferences really going to be overbearing from the standpoint of, you know, football and basketball are going to be chartering everywhere. A lot of these teams are going to be traveling commercial. It's going to be nightmare travel for some teams. And that's something that over the years when they've talked about caring about the student-athlete, let's even stop with that charade, because nobody's even thinking about the student-athlete at this point.
No, you're right. I mean, that's we've talked about how this, it's big business. I mean, college football is just gigantic monster business, and it's about what is going to increase the bottom line, the TV deals, all of that. Now, Mark, from your vantage point, I talk to a lot of Mountain West guys, and they all kind of say the same thing. Like, Yeah, the Mountain West will be great. They can, if they stay true together, stay strong together, maybe they can pick up an Oregon State or a Washington State. From your vantage point, how realistic is it that the Mountain West survives this whole thing and maybe does pick up an Oregon State or Washington State?
Well, I think there's a good chance that it survives this. And, you know, I would just say this. Number one, it's a quality league. But number two, what other options do, you know, Oregon State and Washington State have? I mean, they've got to find a home. And so since the Pac-12 is, you know, going by the wayside and has just crumbled here in the last few weeks, you know, the next best option for them is going to be the Mountain West. It's a quality conference. It's an established conference. It's been around a long time. It's got a lot of history. It's got quality programs in it. That makes the most sense to me at this point in time. Now, what's going to happen on those given campuses, you know, there's going to have to be a swallowing of some pride and saying, okay, you're not going to be in what we term a Power 5 conference, and now to be a Power 4, I guess. And so you've got to understand that. But I think that the Mountain West is sitting on very solid footing right now, and those two schools potentially coming in, and we'll see what happens with Cal and Stanford. They're kind of unique. Stanford in and of itself is a unique creature, different than the other three we're talking about in the league. And so I think that's a good landing spot for them. And so I wouldn't be shocked if that happens. But, yeah, I think the Mountain West is in a solid position right now.
Yeah, I hope you're right because, again, just being a guy that follows both, you know, the Buffs and the Rams, I root for both of those or whichever conference those two teams are in. So we'll see what happens there. Mark, on the SEC commissioner's thoughts, he was talking a lot about, you know, there's sadness, there's all this. But a lot of the conversation, some of what I took from it, maybe the underlying part of it, was the fact that maybe college football playoffs needs to revisit how they're going to structure the playoffs and all of that. And then my brain started taking me down this conversation you and I've had of college football as a whole. I mean, do we need to get to a point where the NCAA, the college football playoffs, there's just one Roger Goodell type person that's overseeing all of it, where there's more control, there's no independence, all of that. What do you think about that, Mark?
Well, I've told you before, I believe that's where it's going. And that's what I mean about, you know, we're in a pause right now, but ultimately that's where it goes. And I've been, you know this, I've been preaching this for a long time, and early on when I started saying it, I was kind of the lone voice in the wilderness, and people told me I was nuts, but I still think this ultimately goes to where, you know, some number, you pick the number, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 programs separates from the NCAA and goes and creates their own organization. And then what happens is you've got a unionization of players, and there's revenue sharing with the student athletes, and they have, you know, some sort of graduated pay scale, just like they do in other professional sports, and that's what it becomes. And, you know, when that does happen, and I've said this many times, it's going to destroy particularly women's athletics, but really college athletics overall from that group on down will be destroyed. And you know, some will survive in some sort of non-scholarship type situation. Others are just going to drop college athletics, and people are going to lose opportunity. Guys like me that play Division II college basketball won't have an opportunity because they won't have programs to fund, you know, coming from the NCAA basketball tournament where the money, you know, bulk of the money comes from. So this whole thing is it's crazy, and I think what it does ultimately, it destroys what makes college basketball and college football unique. When it becomes that league, whatever it looks like, when we get there, how do you differentiate that from the NFL? And then if it is like the NFL, why am I going to take half the NFL when I can have all of the NFL? I mean, there are so many aspects about this that have just been driving me crazy now for two decades as we saw this coming down the road. And every time I raised a red flag and said, hey, you got to be careful about, you know, paying players and how this is going to work. And then I was told, oh, you don't understand it. You're hating on these kids deserve this. Well, guess what? When it's all said and done, Brady, some are going to make some money, and it's going to be real good for them. And a lot of people are going to lose out on opportunity and the experience of playing college athletics and getting a college education. And so more people will be ultimately hurt by this than will gain from it. And that's the part that's going to be very disappointing.
Well, and don't you think there's more of an urgency now more than ever for teams to join a big conference for the TV money? Because now, and again, this is different for some schools, But now the bigger schools are sharing some of their money that they would typically get from advertisers or whatever, because those guys are now putting it into an NIL pot and going to some of those players where maybe they're not getting as much as they used to. So the urgency to go get more money where you can, when you can, seems to be picking up.
Well, be careful there. Now technically, the university can't be doling out NIL money.
True. What I'm talking about, though, is like an advertiser saying, "Okay, well, I could do $2,000 a month with you, or I could do $1,000 a month with you, and I'm actually going to put $1,000 in to the NIL collective with these guys." So, a Ford company, for example. So, aren't we seeing that on the national scale?
Well, there is some that you just see the news the last couple of days. NIL collective at Texas A&M. They were shutting that thing down because of all kinds of legal activity. And so, you know, this whole thing has been such a mess. And I've used that term. It's the Wild West over the last few years when this thing has cranked up. There is no uniformity. Every state legislature has passed individual state laws. So it's a little bit different in Colorado than it is a little bit different in Texas, and it's a little bit different in North Carolina or wherever else. I mean, and so right now, I don't know how you run an organization that way. You have different rules for different teams and different conferences, and it's such a mess out there right now. And the NCAA has dropped the ball on this. You know, Jeremy Bloom was at practice today up in Boulder. I'm just leaving Boulder right now. And I started thinking about when I got here in 2004, 19 years ago, he was dealing with the NCAA with the whole, issue of him getting endorsement deals because he was an Olympic athlete and how they kicked him out of college football. And they had an opportunity in 2003, 2004 to deal with this and start to put together some sort of parameters on how you move forward within this concept of compensating student athletes. And they just ignored it and kept kicking the can down the road. And now you've opened up this just mess in college sports that we're dealing with, and nobody can put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point in time. It's out, and I don't know what they do with it. And the only thing I think that probably ultimately fixes it, and I say fix, basically puts a kind of a parameters around it, is if they do break off and create their own organization, then they can put in place, here's exactly how we're going to handle this, like the NFL or Major League Baseball or NBA does. Then they can get a handle on it. At this point, I'm not sure how you rein this thing in. I think it's almost impossible.
And I agree with you, too. I think that that's probably where we're headed. My brain, I'm not smart enough to understand how that even works, how you break off from the NCAA and use, but I see that happening, where these guys are essentially, we're just paying them to play college football. That could be the road we're headed to pretty soon.
Yeah, and when I say it's going to really damage women's athletics, what I mean by that, if some of your listeners don't quite understand, if they break off and they become independent and there's no public funds that are funding these athletic departments, and they almost become these unique, autonomous agencies, if you will, well, then Title IX doesn't apply to them in that regard. You don't have to be, careful about things like Title IX in the National Football League, for instance, because it's a private organization. And so I think that ultimately is what this thing eventually becomes. And it's going to really damage, like I went through, lower levels of college athletics and women's athletics. And, a bunch of people are going to be making a bunch of money, but a lot are going to be losing those opportunities. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting when it happens. But what will happen, the NCAA just go away. They'll basically disband it. And everyone's going to take off, and then we're really going to see chaos.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. Mark, do you foresee a Buffs upset over TCU? Is your brain prepared for that just yet? I mean, are we thinking the Buffs can do it?
Well, holy cow, man. Now, you're asking me, you want to talk about putting the cart ahead of a horse. I'm out of practice trying to figure out who number 13 is and number 27. And I'm out there with my roster watching and doing the play-by-play in my head. And still get my head around. I haven't seen the Buffs fully scrimmage yet. And so I'll tell you this. Here's what I'll say about Colorado right now. They've got a whole lot of athletes, man. I mean, they really do. This is going to be, I think, the fastest team that I have seen in this will be my 20th season coming up here doing the Buffs. They've got more speed than I've ever seen. Shedeur Sanders is a big-time quarterback. That I'm convinced of at this point. Travis Hunter is a freak of an athlete. It doesn't take an NFL genius to step out there in the field and go, number 12 is different than everybody else out here. That cat is unique in and of himself. So there's some reasons to really be excited about what Colorado is going to do this season. I'm certainly optimistic and anticipating that first ball game, but you know what to say, the 10th, that game's on September 2nd. I'm a long way from fully getting an understanding what the bumps are going to look like by then.
So on that side, maybe we don't know these answers yet, but Travis Hunter, so excited to see him in action. Where will he primarily be, Mark? I mean, we don't see a lot of guys like this. Is he going to be a corner? Is he going to be a wide receiver? A little bit of both or just a little bit of one? What are you thinking or hearing at this point?
The answer is yes. that's the answer. And I did an interview with Travis just a few days ago here, and I said, you know, what should I call him? Should I call him a corner? Should I call him? He said, athlete. Mm. And that's what he is. I mean, he really is. You know, it wasn't that long ago we had LaVisca Chenault at CU. And you could walk out on a practice field and stand there for about 5 minutes. I was saying to a guy out there today, I said, you know, you could take a Martian in here and stand him out here in about 5 minutes knowing nothing about football. He looked and say, that guy over there is different. And that's what I say. You know, we said that about LaVisca, who is, you know, a high-level NFL draft pick and a great NFL player, great NFL talent. Travis Hunter is that way. He moves different. He looks different. And Travis was telling me, I just said to him, I said, you don't want to come off the field, do you? And he said, no, I want to play both sides of the ball. I want to play every snap. And so that's apparently the mentality he's got. Now, when you're old and tired like I am, there's no way you can play every snap. But a young guy like that, he's, what, 19 years old? He's got all kinds of energy. He's indestructible in his mind, and he'll play a lot of snaps on both sides of the ball. And he can be an all-conference level guy on both sides of the ball. That's how gifted he is.
Yeah, I mean, you're hearing Heisman talk and all that stuff surrounding this guy. So I'm pumped. I'm excited to see him in action and excited to hear you back on the call, my friend Mark. Always appreciate your time, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I look forward to it. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. There's no way he can play both ways all game, right? You don't risk that either, because the percentage, the chance of injury now is through the roof. If he's out on the field all game, I mean, I don't know. 12:50 the time. Let's wrap up. We got another hour coming up. Joel Cantalamessa is going to join me from RamNation.com. He interviewed CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker yesterday in a podcast with his partner Mike Rowe with Ram Nation. And I want to play back some of that, and then we'll bring Joel on to get his thoughts. All that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.